It's good to be here in the Lord's house this morning to sing praises unto Him and to study another portion of God's holy and divine Word. Just want to say that we are happy to see our visitors here with us this morning, sisters and brothers that we hadn't seen for some time. It's good to have Sister Bumalo back with us. We certainly missed her when she was out ill. This morning, we want to thank God for His grace, His traveling grace, that we all made it here safely. We all come to realize that it's not because that we were so good, that we were so careful that we made it here. If that was the case, neither one of us would be here this morning. We're here this morning because of the grace of God, and God is good. Without a doubt in my mind this morning, I know that there was someone living yesterday that's not living today. And the fact that you and I are still here this morning is a testament to all of us that God is still shining His grace upon us on this side of time. So let us not take this grace for granted. We come here this morning to praise God because He's worthy of all praise and glory and honor. So we worship Him and we praise Him. This morning I have a lesson this morning I'd like to share with us coming from the book of Numbers. And the Bible teaches us also in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. The Bible says that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability that God give it, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to be praised and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so we thank God this morning for His word. This morning, I just want to say to the visitors this morning that are visiting with us, if I should say something this morning from the Bible, something that you're not familiar with, or you're in this worship service that you see that's differently from the place where you worship, by all means, bring it to someone's attention. Because you know what? God's going to hold us all accountable for the things that we do in this life. And we want to make sure that we're doing what God teaches us to do, not what some man is teaching. The Bible says that those that in Berea were noble, and they received the word of God with gladness into their hearts. But you know what? They did something else. They searched those scriptures daily to see if what the apostles were teaching was written in this book. That's what they did. And that's our responsibility. We are to search these scriptures. Whenever a brother get up here and preach unto you the word of God, you should be able to see it in God's word, what is being taught. So that's one of the things I want to just say this morning as we prepare to study a few passages of these scriptures this morning. My subject this morning is to be careful what you ask for, because God just may give it to you. I just want to use these passages of Scripture for the Scripture reading in the book of Numbers, chapter 11. So once this notice, in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, and I want to use verse 1 for the Scripture reading. Notice what the Bible teach. It says, and when the people complain, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. He heard their complaint. And the Bible says it displeased the Lord. And the Bible says, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. I want to let this scripture serve this morning in the book of Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1 as a scripture reading. But before that we go any further into this lesson this morning, we count this as a wonderful opportunity this morning to go to our Father in spirit and in truth in prayer. So at this time, let us humble ourselves as the one has been appointed to lead us in prayer. As we look at this lesson this morning, I just want to keep in mind this morning that God is dealing with Israel coming out of Egyptian bondage. And they have been in bondage for 430 years. And they prayed for deliverance from God. And God led them out. I want us to keep in mind this morning that the New Testament Christian today, we are God Israel today. Israel was headed to Beulah, to Canaan, the land that was flowing with milk and honey, on their journey out of Egypt into Canaan. And you and I this morning, we're headed to heaven. I want us to understand something, that they were tested on their journey headed to Canaan. And just like we're going to be tested to get from earth to where God is. And I know that we live in a time where everything is fast moving. And sometimes, you know, we really don't even have time to count our blessings. God blesses us so much and with so much. And we look at those blessings sometime and God blesses us and our mind click and we want to know what's next. Instead of counting our blessings, we want to know next. And I want to just say to the young people here this morning is that remember this, and some of us older people have learned this, that whatever that you want in life, you're going to have to go through something to get something. So sometimes when God blesses us, there are challenges come with those blessings. Sometimes he just don't just give it to us. We have to go through something to get those blessings. God tests us. Now Israel was tested to see whether they were fit to enter into the land that was flowing with milk and honey. God led them through the desert. And we're going to be tested to see whether we are fit for the heavenly kingdom. I just want to say that the young people, that if you want to be a school teacher and you go and get your education, it doesn't mean that you're going to come out of that profession earning the top money in that profession. You're going to have to go through something. If you want to be a doctor, you go in and get your medical credentials. It doesn't mean that you're going to come out making all this big money just because you have graduated from college. You're going to have to go through something to get where you want to go. You want to be a gospel preacher, you're going to have to study. You're going to have to burn some midnight oil. And preaching will be your least concern. You're going to have to learn, to stand in there when the kitchen gets hot. You got to go through something. And I know that sometimes that we see some people sometimes living in big houses. And we'll say sometimes, man, you know what? I sure wished I had a house like that. Instead of being thankful for what we have, we're wishing that we had that. We should go sometime and ask those people, how was it when they were living in the little house on the prairie? Because they haven't always had that big house. We see people driving nice automobiles, and we say, I'd like to have that. We see some people sometimes seem like they just got it all in life. And we say, I want to be like that person. Instead of being ourselves, we want to be like somebody else. We don't know what that person is going through behind closed doors. We don't know what people are going through. And we say we want to be like them. So I just want to say this morning, as we look into this lesson, just remember that whatever it is in life that we want, we're going to have to go through something. And we're going to look at Israel this morning, coming out of Egypt, headed to Beulah. And as we look at these passages of Scripture in the book of Numbers, I want us to notice that, I'm going to read the verse again, the Scripture reading. The Bible says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. He heard their complaint. We need to understand something. God hates when we complain. He hates murmuring. Because God is so good to us. He blesses us all the time. I remember reading in the old book of Lamentation. Lamentation says that every morning the great God of heaven, when we open our eyes, rain down a blessing upon us. Every morning when we open our eyes, God is good to us. And so he hates when we complain and when we murmur. Notice what the Bible says, that God heard their complaint. He said, "In his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, consumed them that were in the utmost part of the camp." When God heard their complaint and their murmuring, the Bible said it kindled the anger of God. Notice in verse 2. And the Bible says, and the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, their fire was quenched. Now, you would think that Israel was a long time on their journey. This is just 3 days. 3 days into their journey, and they're complaining already. And God had just brought them out of Egyptian bondage. Look at Numbers chapter 10 and verse 33. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 33. The Bible says, and they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. In just 3 days, they were complaining already. Now, this is the God that had just put 10 plagues upon Egypt. Brother Dennis corrected me on that one last day I was speaking. I said it was 12. And afterward, he said, Brother Nelson, it was just 10. I knew that, but I misspoke. I was thinking about the 12 tribes of Israel, and I said 12 plagues, but the 10 plagues. That's why it's important that we all study, so we can help each other, correct each other. But just 3 days in that journey, and they were complaining. The Bible says that it kindled the Lord's anger in their murmuring and their complaining. And man, they were wailing on Moses. They were complaining to Moses on these 3 days' journey. And the Bible says in verse 3, it says, he called the name of that place, Taberah, because of the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And this is the Lord's anger that would kindle because of their complaint. And the Bible says that the fire of the Lord burned around the camp, the tents that they were in. And Moses prayed to God, and God extinguished the fire. Notice something else here.
The Bible says in verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. So we need to understand something, that when God brought Israel out of Egypt, there was some Egyptian that came out also. All those people weren't God's people. You had some Egyptian that came out also. And these Egyptians that came out began to complain about the conditions and their circumstances. And that influenced the people of God, that the people of God began to complain also, because you had the unbelievers that were complaining. Doesn't we fall into that category sometime? We're around people that are not Christian people, and they get to complaining about the conditions, and we start right with them complaining also. We need to be telling somebody how good God is. I remember one day I was at the office and it was raining, and a person looked out and said, "You know what is, you look how nasty it is out there." I'm saying, what's nasty about it? Do you remember when you were a kid how you used to like to play in the rain? So what's nasty about it now? But they were just complaining about the rain, and God sent the rain for a reason. Somebody needed that rain. And God sent it, and the people were complaining about how nasty it was outside. So we had to be careful. And that's what I'm saying in this lesson this morning. I'm not trying to tell anybody what to ask for or how to ask for it. But when you pray and when you ask God, be careful, because you just might get it, what you ask for. Now notice that all these people weren't God people. Some of them were Egyptian. The Bible says in verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now, I want just to show us this in the book of Exodus chapter 12. Let's look at that right quick. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 38. And we'll see that all these people weren't God's people. Exodus 12 and verse 38. The Bible says, and a mixed multitude went up among them, and flocks and herds and herds. And very much cattle that went up among them coming out of Egypt. So they all weren't God people. There was a mixed multitude. Now let's go back to Numbers chapter 11. And notice that the Bible says they began to complain, and the Bible says they fell a-lusting and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now, we know that God provided manna for his children. Every morning, God rained down manna for the children of Israel. They had bread to eat every morning. But now they ask and say, well, who shall give us flesh to eat? Notice what happened here in verse 5. They said, we remember the fish. Now, why are they remembering the fish? This was bondage food that they were remembering. They were remembering the wrong thing. Sometimes we, as people of God, we remember the thing that we should forget. And the thing that we forget should be, that we should forget, we remember. They were remembering the wrong thing. Don't you know that a cracker in freedom is better than fish in slavery? They said, we remember the fish when we were in Egypt. Notice this in verse 5. It said, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions and the garlic. That's what they were remembering. This was all bondage food that they were remembering. And God had just performed 10 mighty miracles to free them from Egyptian bondage. And 3 days into that journey, they had forgot about that mighty works. They were complaining and murmuring. Looking back, is it sometime that when hard times hit us, do we begin to look back and say, you know what? I had it better when I was a sinner. I wasn't going through this when I was a sinner, but as a Christian, look what I'm going through. Brothers and sisters, when God blesses us, don't throw God's blessing back in his face. Because we're going to be challenged. We're going to be tested. And we need to be thanking God. That's what we need to be remembering, is how good God is and what he has done for us. And God will bring us through those hard times. Not when we want, because God's time is not on our time, but in due time, God will bless us and he'll bring us through those hard times when we go through it. He'll bring us through it. No, I went through a struggle. I think I told some of you about my situation when I first moved to Florida, how the company that I was working for put me on Sunday work, and how that I had to fight. And God blessed me to come out of that situation. We're one of the largest companies in the world. I think I told some of you about this. But, you know, after God blessed me to come out of that, another situation happened. The company came to me later on and said, James, that we're going to pull out of this area. We're going to pull out of the market, and we want you to travel with us. And we had this sister there in the worship service with us. They had moved there from California. She's a faithful sister. And had we moved, we would have left that sister there by herself. And I made a decision is to stay and keep the church doors open. I took a $25,000 pay cut in pay. And you're talking about tightening up your waistband. I almost got amputated. I went through some struggles, brothers and sisters, when I took that pay cut. I remember going to my mailbox one day and looking at the mail, and I had so many bounced checks in there. The bounced checks were more than my payroll check. And things were just falling apart. And I remember my wife, Sandra, looking at me one day. She said, "How can you have a smile on your face when everything around us is just falling apart?" But you know what I was looking at? I was looking at Romans 8 and 28. He said, "Therefore, all things work to good to them that love the Lord, that are called according to his purpose." I'm saying, "Lord, I don't know what good is coming out of this, but I'm depending on your word. I'm walking on your word." And it took some time. But God brought us out of it. I kept going to church. Never missed a Lord's day. God always made sure we had food on the table. All through those struggles. And God brought us through it. He'll bring us through it. But you know, the time that we're living in, you see, everybody says, "Well, you know what? I remember this preacher that was on television one day praying. He said, 'Lord, come right now. Come right now.'" I'm saying, who does this person think he's talking to? "Lord, come right now." This is the God of heaven. What about some reverence? Because God come in his own time. In his own time, he will bring us through those challenges and those tribulations that we're going through. The Bible says that the children of Israel were remembering the wrong thing, because they were looking back in bondage, the things that they were eating back then. Notice what it says in verse 6 in the book of Numbers chapter 11. And the Bible says, now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Their soul weren't dried away. They were just complaining and murmuring because God was providing for them every day manna from heaven. But they were complaining. They forgot how good God was. And we as Christians sometimes, we do that. But we do that. But you know what? We forget. But the devil doesn't forget. I'm going to show you something. You know, you remember when Christ told his disciples that, he says that they're going to crucify me, and on the third day I will resurrect. Now, he taught the disciples this. Although he would be crucified, he said, on the third day I will resurrect. And do you know when they crucified Christ? That Saturday, which was the Sabbath day, you know what the disciples were doing? They were mourning. They were mourning. You know, look, what we're going to do now, Christ is gone. What are we going to do? They were in mourning because they had forgotten what Christ had taught them, that on the third day, he was going to resurrect. Don't criticize those sisters because they got up early that first day of the week that morning. They went down to the sepulchre. They got up early. But you see, the devil didn't forget. The Christian forgot. Look at the book of Matthew. When we come back to Numbers, the book of Matthew, I'm going to look at that right quick. Chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And we'll look at verse 62. Matthew 27 and verse 62. The Bible says, now the next day, the following day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that, see that, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. They didn't forget. Verse 64 said, command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so lest error should be worse than the first. And the Bible says in verse 65 that Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. Pilate said, set that watch and make it as sure as you can. You see, the devil didn't forget. They remember what Christ said. And Christ said, set that watch. Make sure the disciples didn't come and steal him away and say that he is risen. But the Christians had to forget. Somebody should have been in that group saying, dry your weeping eyes, because on the third day Christ will resurrect from the dead. But they were all mourning and they were weeping. Forgot about Christ is going to resurrect on that third day. Let's go a little further. Let's go back to Numbers and look at a few more passages of these scriptures. In the book of Numbers, chapter 11, Moses was being pulled upon by the children of Israel. They were wailing on him, complaining. You know, if they wanted meat to eat, why not just ask God? Why complain about it? Couldn't they have just asked God, said, Lord, said, we would like to have some meat to eat, instead of complaining about it, murmuring about it? It's the same God that put the 10 plagues of Egypt and brought them out, the same God that opened the Red Sea, walked through on dry land, the same God. Just ask God. He'll give it to us. You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. Now notice what happened here. But look at what Moses says in verse 10 of the book of Numbers, chapter 11. The Bible says, then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. As Moses was walking around through the camp of the tents, he could hear every family in those tents murmuring and complaining. He could hear this as he's walking around through the camp. And the Bible says that murmuring, that complaining, kindled the anger of God, and it also displeased Moses. Look what Moses had to say in verse 11. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? He said, verse 12, he said, have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou should say to me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? In other words, Moses says that, have I conceived all these people? Now Moses is getting frustrated in dealing with the people of God. He said, did I conceive all these people that all of this burden is laid upon me? Moses was thinking that he had to lead the people of God all by himself. And with them wailing on him, Moses began to be displeased. You know, remember one time, you know, God told Moses to speak to the rock, and Moses hit the rock, that he became so frustrated dealing with the people of God. God explained to Moses, You don't have to do this all by yourself. And sometimes that you and I, we think that we have to do everything by ourselves, not realizing that we have a God that we can call upon. We have each other, sisters and brothers, that we can call upon each other in a time of need. We don't have to do it all on our own. Moses was thinking he had to do this all on his own. God said, I want you to bring 70 elders together. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take your spirit and put your spirit in the 70 elders, and you all lock arm and you work together. You don't have to do it by yourself. You don't have to do it all alone. But sometimes we get caught up in that thinking we have to do everything by ourselves, not realizing that we have help. We have God to help us. We have the Son to help us. The Holy Spirit to help us in the time of need. Well, let's notice something else in these passages of scriptures. They were asking for meat to eat. In the same book, we'll look at verse 19. Well, let's look at verse 18. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 18. And the Bible says, and say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. Now notice this now. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Now this is what they're telling God. We had it good in Egypt. And the Bible says God heard that. Brothers and sisters and friends, God had paid a price to bring his children out of bondage. And just like he paid a price for us to bring us out of sin by sending his only begotten Son into this world to die on a cruel cross for us. Let us not ever forget this price that God paid. And sending his only begotten Son into this world to die for us. Don't ever forget that. Don't forget that price. Because Israel forgot it. They said they had it better off when they were in Egypt. And God said, you want flesh to eat? You said you had better off back in Egypt? He said, I give you flesh to eat. Now notice this. Be careful what you pray for, because you just might get it. Notice what the Bible says in verse 19. It said, ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils. Now, I don't know why God did this. But God said, you shall eat meat till it comes out of your nostrils, if you want meat to eat. He said, because that ye have despised the Lord, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? That's why you're going to eat meat now till it comes out of your nose, out of your nostrils. And if we read the rest of these passages of scriptures, we'll find that while they were chewing on the meat and the meat was still in their teeth, God put a plague on them while they were still chewing. And those people that complained and that murmured were killed. The subject this morning is be careful what you pray for, or what you ask for, because you just might get it. And don't let us start to complain and murmur as we're going through these times in this life. Let us just remember to thank God and how good he is to all of us. And just learn how to count our blessings. The lesson is yours this morning. And hopefully something was said from this lesson will just cause us just to remember this morning the goodness of God and all of his blessings that he blesses each and every one of us with. Now, I haven't always been in the Church of Christ. I came out of the Baptist faith. And something happened in the Baptist faith that, well, a lot of things happened that I can't find in the Bible. Number one, I can't find Baptist in the Bible. Baptist is not in the Bible. You got John the Baptist, but the Baptist church is not in the Bible. And I remember this, in the being in the Baptist faith and being reared up in that religion, I remember that all of these different things that the Baptists used to do. I remember that I was about maybe 15 years of age. They said, well, it's time for you to get your religion now. And we went to church, and it had this bench that you put out here, and we had several of us sitting on this bench. They call that the mourning bench. You sit on this mourning bench till you get your religion. And I sat there on that bench with some other children that I knew. And you're sitting there on the bench, some of the older sisters would come around and they was, you know, singing these hymns and they were praying and they were patting you on the head as you're sitting there. And all of a sudden you hear somebody saying, they started crying. And then they get up and off that bench. Now, you may think this comical, but I'm telling you this not to be comical. I'm telling you because this is a fact, and I think that we need to know this, that this is not the way God saves. That's why I'm telling this. And I remember sitting there, and all of my friends had left me on this bench. I had my head down, and I looked around, and they were all gone. And I put spit in my eyes and pretended I was crying so I could get up off of that bench. And they said that you save. You know what else they said? They said, and on the fourth Sunday of the month, we're going to get everybody together and you're going to get baptized because you're already saved. So baptism is not essential. It's just an outward show for inner. It's just an outward show for inner experience. So you already saved, but we're going to just wait until the fourth Sunday and just baptize everybody. And do you know that I lived like that until I was 30 years old? I knew what I had done. I knew I wasn't saved, but I was just living that way because my mother and my father had come up in this religion, and I was following them in their religion. And I thank God today that He spared my life, that I was able to see the truth and respond to it. And I come to find out that God doesn't save like that. I was talking to a preacher of my neighborhood one day, and he was telling me that this is a preacher, and he was a pastor of this great big congregation. And he was my neighbor, and we got to talking one day, and we were telling me, he said, well, you know, God saved me while I was riding alone in my car. One day, God saved me. I've never seen that in the Bible, that God saved people like that, because it's not true. I want to show you this morning from the Bible how God saves. And if you're here this morning, I want you to know this morning that you can be saved. You can be saved this morning, you can be baptized this morning, and you can become a child of God this morning. Don't put it off. Just since January, I've had four of my relatives to pass away. Just since January. Went to Memphis 1 month, next month they're gone. So don't think that we have a whole lot of time. That's what the devil will do to us. He have us thinking this morning, well, you know what, I didn't come here this morning to get baptized. That's not what I came here for. And if I walk up here and confess my hope in Christ, you know, what are all these people going to think about me? Or what are my friends going to think about me? Yeah, we have all these things going through our minds. But we've got to realize one day that when the time comes for us to leave here and we have to stand before God, we're not going to be around. We're going to have to face God by ourselves. And that is the conclusion that I came to and the mindset that I came to. I got to die for myself. That's what I have to do. I have to face God for myself. And here's God's plan of salvation, and you'll find this in the Bible. God tells us, you first have to hear His word. Now, you can't hear anything. You have to hear God's word. And the Bible tells us that in Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to hear God's word. You just can't hear anything. So don't let people tell you anything. You got to hear what the Bible says. We have to hear how good God is. We have to hear the gospel being taught. St. John chapter 6 and 45 says, those that are taught and learn, those are the ones that come to God. We have to be taught. You got to know what you're doing. And after hearing God's word, the Bible says that we must believe it. If we've been taught something that we can't find in this Bible, and you read this Bible and you find it is there, we have to believe God's word. We have to believe it over man. But this is God's word. St. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Jesus says, I tell you, nay. He said, except you believe that I am He, He said, you will die in your sins. So when we study God's word, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He is the one that God sent here to earth to die for us. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, He said, you're going to die in your sins. In verse 21 of that same passage of Scripture, He says that if you die in your sin, where I am, ye cannot come. We can't go to heaven if we got sin on us. And that's what Jesus is telling us, that if you die in your sins where I am, you can't come. Now we have to believe God. And after believing it, we must repent. When we hear God's word, we believe it, we have to repent. Luke 13:3 says, I'll tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke saying that we must repent if we want to be saved. If we don't repent, Luke says that we will burn in hell. We have to repent. Once we hear God's word, believe it and repent. After repenting comes is a good confession. The good confession is that Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, say, if thou would confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ and God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. You know, a lot of people see that. That's where you see it. That's the only thing you have to do is to receive God and he will save you. They don't read the rest of that verse. The Bible says, for with the heart, which is this mind that God has given us, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now you can hear God's word, you can believe it, repent, confess, but you're still not saved. You're being converted, but you're not saved. Why did I say that? A person asked me once, said, what if I heard God's word, believe, repent, confess? Will God save me? The answer is no. Because we serve a just God. If you want to be saved, God is going to make sure that you'll be saved. There's a way that God will provide for you to be saved if you want to be saved. God will make that way for you. Why are you not saved? Because at this point, you still have your sins on you. And this is what I was taught. I was taught that this final step, which is baptism, is not essential. When the Bible tells us this is where we get our sins washed away, is in the watery grave of baptism, is where our sins are washed away. Until those sins are washed away, then you are not saved. And you can't get saved and not know that you're being saved. That doesn't happen. Brother Tom and I, we talk about this sometimes. He was telling me he was brought up in the Catholic faith and they baptized him when he was a baby. And I tease him sometimes. I said, well, what sin did you commit when you were a baby that you had to get washed away? Baptism is to have our sins washed away. And Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 says, for as many as has been baptized into Christ, put on Christ. You know, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when those Jews that were sitting there in the synagogue, they didn't come there to get baptized that day. They were thinking that they were okay until Peter preached that first gospel sermon. And he let them know that they were among the ones that had crucified our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You're guilty of it. And the Bible said that they were pricked in their heart when they heard that gospel sermon. And they asked a question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, Peter preached the gospel sermon, just like I'm preaching this morning. Do you think Peter told those people, said, well, you're all right. Just repent and you'll be okay. Well, you're already saved. Just receive Jesus by the right-hand fellowship and you'll be fine. That's not what Peter told them. He said, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of your sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Now, Peter said we have to be baptized. Somebody come along 700,000 years later and say we don't have to be baptized? Who do you think I'm going to believe? I'm going to believe God's word. What's written in this book. Peter said, you got to be baptized. Then once we are baptized into the watery grave of baptism, and we make a mistake, we sin, we have to repent of that sin, confess, especially our faults. If we have committed a sin that is shameful to the church, the body of Christ, we have to make a confession of that sin to our sisters and brothers that we might be reinstated into the fellowship. And we continue to walk in the newness of life. So while we stand this morning and we sing the chosen song, if we are subject to the gospel in any manner, we may make the good confession.